We ought to be grateful that God has seen fit to let us live through this day and given us the physical well-being to assemble on this occasion. We appreciate the fact that you're here, and again, we make our commitment to the speaking as the oracles of God and encourage you to get your Bible and take whatever notes you might like to take that you might have this material for your further study. If you hear something taught that you feel is wrong, I stand to be corrected. That's always the case, and hope that you know that my appeal is to the Word of the Lord. The psalmist said the Word of the Lord is right. Psalm 33 and verse 4. If what we teach is according to the Lord's Word, it's right. But if it's not right, it's wrong, and we want to know about it so we can make the proper correction. Has your life made a few wrong turns? You ever say, I wish I hadn't done that. Or I should have done this. I'd like to call your attention today to some things you'll never regret. So that when you look life in the rearview mirror, your memories will bring you pleasure and not pain. As you make a list of some things that you'll never regret, the first thing I suggest to you is that you'll never regret being a worker in the Lord's church. There are a number of great privileges of being a member of the church of our Lord. One of the privileges of membership is the fact that it's in the church that we're reconciled to God. In Ephesians 2 and verse 16, Paul said, "And that he, that is God, might reconcile both, that is both Jew and Gentile, unto God." Paul, tell us about that. Where does that take place? In one body, by the cross. The one body of the New Testament is the church. In Ephesians 4 and 4, Paul said there is one body. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, he identifies the body as the church. And so one of the great privileges of being a member of the church of Christ is where it is an individual is reconciled to God. Another membership privilege is the fact that that's where the saved are. Christ is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5 and verse 23. You remember what the Lord added to the church in Acts 2:47? The saved. And so, why be a member of the church? Because of the fact that that's where the saved are and that's where the reconciled are. You'll never regret being a member of the church. Now, there'll be those who regret that they never became a member. They'll regret not being reconciled to God. They'll regret not being among the saved. But you'll never look back over your life and say, "I regret that I became a member of the church." But taking that a step further, you'll not regret being a worker in the church. One of the things I appreciate about the church here is the fact that there are no spectators in the church. Everybody's involved. Everybody participates. You know, in some places, there are brethren who think that they're a spectator. They just kind of sit and watch and observe. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, then verse 58, that we're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of our Lord. As a vineyard, the church of Christ is a workplace. And the Lord's always had work for His people to do, hasn't He? Each member has a part to supply. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in verse 16, the Apostle Paul, in writing the church at Ephesus, talked about that when he said, "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Notice these words, every joint, supply, and every part working. That's what makes a church grow. And so, you'll not regret the time and the energy that you put forth in doing the work of our Lord in the church. Now, there may be those who look back over their life and they may regret not being a worker. They may say, "I wish I'd been more involved. I wish I'd done more." But you'll never regret your time and your energy that you spend in being a worker in the Lord's church. Let me suggest to you another thing you'll not regret. And that is you'll never regret the time that you spend in studying your Bible. You know, the Bible appeals to us to search its pages. In John 5 and 39, the Lord said, "Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." Writing Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, Paul said, "Study," or "give diligence, to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. He told Timothy again, 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, what do you want Timothy to do till you come, Paul? Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, among other things. You know, there are a lot of benefits of Bible study. One of the benefits of Bible study is the fact that it causes you to know and understand the truth. There's so many people that are ignorant of this book. They don't know the truth. They don't know right from wrong because they've not studied. The Lord said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. There are those who have very little understanding of what it is that God expects of them today. They don't know. But Paul said, when you read, you may understand. Ephesians 3:4. You'll not regret studying your Bible, that you might know and that you might understand. Another benefit of Bible study is that it produces faith. And it's vital, isn't it? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. How's faith come? By hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. You'll not regret the faith that you develop from your personal study. Another benefit of your Bible study is it builds you up. Surely we've not become so strong and we've not been so built up and edified that we don't need to spend some time in this volume. We all need to be built up. We need to be strengthened. And Paul told the Ephesians, I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. Acts 20:32. Another benefit. When you read this book, it's going to keep you from erring, keep you from going astray. There are a lot of enticements out there, aren't there? A lot of things calling for our attention, trying to get us off course, off track. In the book of Matthew 22:29, the Lord said to the Sadducees, ye do err. What was it that caused these people to go astray, Lord? Not knowing the Scriptures. We become vulnerable prey to the devil when we fail to read and study the Bible. Also, it promotes growth. Have we grown to the point that we don't need to grow anymore? Surely not. We all need to grow. And that's the appeal of Peter in the book of 2 Peter 3:18, but grow. In 1 Peter 2:2, he said, as newborn babes, desire. Desire what? The sincere milk of the Word. Why do that? That you may grow thereby. It's natural for a little baby to desire milk. They have a unique way of letting you know when they need it, don't they? You think what happens to a newborn if they go without that milk? Take anybody. You just quit eating. What's going to happen to you? Well, you're going to grow weaker and weaker. Long enough time goes by, you don't eat, you're going to die. And that happens from a spiritual standpoint. There are those who become weaker and weaker, and they just plumb die on the vine because of a failure to study. Another benefit is that it will equip you to identify religious error and be able to answer it. I wish I could tell you that everybody out here in the religious world is teaching the truth. Everybody has abandoned their error. No more error, it's just all truth. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? That's not the reality. Error has been around ever since the garden, when the devil came along and he said, ye shall not surely die. And I need to be able to identify it. I need to be so familiar with the truth that when error rears its ugly head, it'll stick out like a sore thumb. And I'll be able to answer it. Like Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And be ready always. What do you want me to be ready to do, Lord? Answer. Give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, there are those who may regret not being able to answer. They may regret that they weren't as strong as they could have been. They may regret that they didn't know, that they didn't do this, they didn't do that when it comes to study. I wish I'd done more Bible study. I wish I knew more about, I wish I'd read. You'll never go back and say, I wish I didn't spend that much time reading. I wish I didn't know all that that's in the Bible. You'll never regret the time that you spend in Bible study. You talk to somebody who spent all their life, maybe somebody advanced in years, that has dedicated themselves to the study of this book, that knows it like the back of their hand. You ask them, did you ever regret the time you spent studying this book? See if you find one. You'll never regret the time that you spend in Bible study, showing yourself approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Oh, you'll regret if you didn't. But you won't regret that you did. Let me suggest to you another thing you'll not regret. And that is, you'll not regret standing for the truth. There's nothing more valuable than truth. It's been said that truth pressed to the earth, know the rest of that, shall rise again. Solomon said in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. That is, pay whatever price is necessary to get a hold of it, to have it in your possession, and don't part with it at any cost. And yet the truth is being sold for just a little bit of nothing by a lot of people. It's not always easy to stand for what's right. Most people don't do it. It takes somebody strong. It takes somebody with a lot of courage and conviction to take a stand. You may be the only one that will stand up. Maybe everybody else do the wrong thing. You'll never look back and say, I wish I didn't stand up for what was right. Now, you'll probably regret that you did. I've known people that have regretted that when there was controversy that arose, that they didn't take a stand. They didn't put their foot down. Don't be afraid to do that. When you can put your finger on the book, chapter, and verse, you know it is the word of the Lord and it's right. Don't apologize for that. Don't back away from that. Stand up for that. Don't be afraid to do that. You'll not regret it. You know, in the book of Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul stood for truth, and not everybody liked that. In fact, there were some enemies that were made. Remember, he said in verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? We don't tell the truth to people to make enemies out of them. But if my love for them causes me to tell them the truth and they don't like it and I become their enemy as a result of it, then so be it. You can't compromise the truth for personal friendship, can you? Or personal relationships. And so don't regret the time that you spend in studying your Bible to learn the truth and standing for it. But then also, when you think about some things you'll never regret, you'll never regret the time that you spend in teaching others. Can you think of any greater work that you could do for another human being than to teach them the truth? I mean, you could help them in a lot of ways, couldn't you? You might give them some encouragement, some support emotionally, some help financially. You might help them with a job or this, that, and the other. But I can't think of any greater service that you could render another person than that of teaching them the truth. In Matthew 28:19, the Lord said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them and teaching them some more. You won't regret that. In John 6:44-45, the Lord said, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. That's how folks come to the Lord. That's how they hear and they learn. How can we expect folks to hear of the Father and learn and want to come to Jesus, take up their cross and follow after Him, except for us teaching them? In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, Paul said, remember what he said? Take heed unto who? Thyself. And unto the doctrine. Continue in this, in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. We've been taught to teach others. In 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul said, the things that thou hast heard of me, what do you want him to do with those things, Paul? Just keep them to himself? No. He said, commit thou to faithful men. What do you want these men to do with them? Who shall be able to teach others also? And so Paul taught Timothy, and Timothy was to teach others. And we need to do that. You'll not regret that. You'll not regret the time that you spend teaching somebody the truth so they can learn it, they can believe it and obey it and teach somebody else. You may regret that you didn't teach it, that you didn't take time to have a Bible study, but you won't regret the time that you spent teaching. But another thing you'll never regret bringing up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You know, there are those who regret how they raised their children. There have been some parents that I've had occasion to talk with that had some regrets about some of the things that they did with their young people. You know, you'll never regret. You'll never be able to look back and say, I wish I had not brought my children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You won't regret that. Because in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 4, Paul said in your fathers, you know, most of the child rearing, child training responsibility rests on whose shoulders? You know who that is? The father. That's not to say the mother doesn't have any responsibility. She does. But a lot of the instructions address to fathers and your fathers. That includes me. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Those of us who've been privileged to have fathers that brought us up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, aren't you thankful for that? Don't you appreciate that? So I didn't have that. You can do that for your children and help your grandchildren. You know, in Proverbs 22 and then verse 6, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he'll not depart from it. It's a serious responsibility to bring up children, isn't it? And being a father involves more than just bringing a child into this world. It involves bringing them up in the Lord. And I think about the fact that we only have one chance at that. We only have one shot at that. And just a few years. And how quickly time passes by. Next thing you know, they've flown the nest and they have children of their own. Just a few years. And so I see that with our boys, how quickly they grow up. To think that our oldest just turned 17. Doesn't seem possible. Seemed like just the other day we was bringing him home from the hospital. And some of you know more about that than I do, and that your children are already out of the nest. But surely you would agree that you'll never regret bringing your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bringing them to services like this. You know, I appreciate that. It's not always easy, is it? I remember when our boys were younger. And I appreciate the lessons that you're teaching by bringing your young people. You know, there are those who I've met that they thought they ought to just leave them at home. Or they couldn't bring them. They had to stay at home with them. No, you bring them. You're teaching them. They're learning. And that's important. You know, there are those that look back perhaps over their life and they'll regret, well, I wish I'd been more faithful to attend. I wish I'd brought my children. I wish we'd come to the services faithfully. I wish we'd attended those Bible classes. I wish we had taken advantage of those gospel meetings. I wish we had. They may regret some of that. But you'll not regret bringing up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then finally, let me suggest to you that you'll not regret being a faithful Christian. You know, notice how I worded it today. I didn't say you'll not regret being a Christian. But you'll not regret being a faithful Christian. You're Christians and then they're faithful Christians, aren't there? There are a lot of advantages to being a Christian. As a Christian, you have things that nobody else possesses. You have the remission of your sins. As Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, 1 John 2, 1. He's pleading your case, your cause. You have the hope and the promise of eternal life, 1 John 2 and verse 25. You can't buy that. No matter what happens, you can go to bed at night and have the confidence that if you don't wake up, you're going to be in a far better place. You're going to be in heaven with your Lord and your Savior. Now, there'll be those who'll regret not being a Christian or wish they'd become Christian sooner in life. I've encountered some that obeyed the gospel later in life, and they regret that. I wish I had obeyed the gospel sooner. I wish I'd studied more. I wish I hadn't spent my years exerting better influence, having setting a better example before others. They regret that maybe within their family. I wish I'd obeyed the gospel sooner. But I've never encountered somebody who said, I wish I'd never become a Christian. Or I wish I hadn't become a Christian so soon. You'll not regret that. You know, in Acts 26 and in verse 28, Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I wonder if he ever looked back and he regretted not being a Christian. I'll read in the book of Acts 24 and in verse 25 where Felix said to Paul, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. A lot of times when that's read, you'll hear people insert the word more. When I have a more convenient season, the word more is not there. It's when I have a convenient season. There would not have been a more convenient season for him than what he had right there. And there'll never be a more convenient or a more opportune time for you to become a Christian than right now. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. We become a Christian as we hear the Word of God, as we believe it, as we repent of our sins. That's a turning. It's an about face. If we're involved in things that the Lord says not to do, we quit doing that, whatever it is. If we've not been doing what He wants us to do, we start doing it. It's a change. Repentance. We confess our faith that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then we're baptized, immersed in water for the remission of our sins. You won't regret that. You'll never forget that moment. When you're baptized and you can go on your way rejoicing, just like the Ethiopian, Acts 8, after he was baptized. You won't regret being a Christian. And you'll never regret being faithful and steadfast, as 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 talks about. You'll not regret being an attending faithful member. You know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. There's some who just kind of hit and miss. They kind of drop in and out as if the church is some kind of a religious convenience center when it's convenient for them. And there may be those that regret it. I wish I'd been more faithful. I wish I'd attended all the services when I was able. You'll not regret being a faithful, attending, steadfast, unmovable, seeking first Christian. As Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we do these things, we'll not regret dying. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. It's at arm's length. It's close. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Are there those in this audience who need to become a Christian? Would you desire to do that? You'll never regret it. You have the opportunity right now. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel, but you've not been faithful. You'll not regret straightening your life out right now through repentance and prayer about that. If our life is out of harmony with what the Bible teaches, if it's not pleasing to God, we'll regret that. And the Lord has a plan whereby we can be restored to Him by repenting and praying. You remember Simon in Acts chapter 8? His heart was not right in the sight of God. He's told to do two things. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven. He said to the apostles, pray to the Lord for me. You think Simon ever regretted that? You think he regretted saying, pray for me? You'll not regret that either. If you need the prayers of the saints, we're here for you. We'll be happy to pray with you and for you. James said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5 and verse 16. And so I hope that the lesson will be of help to all of us. Because it's easy to do some things that we regret. But I suggest to you that these are some things that we'll never regret. And you'll be able to look back over your life and have a lot of pleasure, fond memories, and not so much pain. We can assist you in making your life right with God. Why don't you come right now as together we now stand and sing.